हरे हे ओ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 12.
Dharma inquired further, Dear Mother Earth, the Supreme Lord Krishna incarnated just to relieve your burden. Now, being bereft of his presence, are you remembering his transcendental pastimes and thus feeling the pangs of separation? I think that the powerful influence of time must have forcibly taken away all of your good fortune, and for this reason you are now lamenting. So you see, it's a very similar kind of progression of questioning as Yudhishthira Maharaj with Arjuna. You know, you first get into all the religious elements that would be a cause of the problem. And then after that, then go into, you know, the element of the Lord. Just because you don't want to get into that. Because it's separation of the Lord. Right? But now all these things they're discussing, they're thinking of them in connection to the Lord. They're the Lord's laws. Because here's personalities that are governing on behalf of the Lord. So Dharma and Bhumi, they're taking up very serious posts for the Lord's satisfaction. So naturally, they'll be seeing at them. So you get this aspect that there's always these few things running at once, right? The bhakti line is the main, the prominent. Then you have these others, the Pancharatrik and the Vedic, running along with that. So they all go together, right? Because one, in the conditioned state, we require the support of the Pancharatrik and Vedic just so that we can engage our conditioning as we identify with it so strongly. And the second, even if we're not identifying with it strongly, like Yudhishthira and others, then it's the medium for expression. Right? In other words, what you're going to use, it's better. Just like you want to drive somewhere, means the point is, as long as you get from point A to point B, then that's there. But there's a difference if you take a bus or if you take a car, you know, or if you walk, or all these things, they all have different effects. Does that make sense? So, one is the culture has these various effects so that you get the taste that you're looking for. Right? If you want to enjoy the, you know, the surroundings, some fresh air, a little exercise, it's not too far and all that, then walking is very nice, you know, or cycling if, you know, it's Amsterdam where they have paths for you to go on, you know, like that. So these kind of things, then it's nice, right? But otherwise, then you might want to take a bus, if it's a longer distance. But the thing with the bus, though efficient and regular, it doesn't necessarily have the elements of closeness, right? So if you want to talk with some certain people, you want to be like that, then you might want a car, because then you can all be together, go as you like, stop when you like. Does that make sense? They all have different flavors. So the Vedic concept is that whatever, because it's about rasa, it's about relationships, so whatever the relationships are, what is the way to get the maximum experience from them? Because that maximum experience is meant to be shared with them. Does that make sense? So the point is it's not about the quality of the item, it's about the quality of the interaction. But quality of interaction can be assisted by quality of ingredients. Right? That's the general rule. Right? We see specifically that if the mood's right and if there's the quality of ingredients isn't great, it still works because of the relationship. But otherwise, if it's only on ingredients, then as you have ingredients, it's better, and as they don't have, it's less. That's the difficulty with the modern society. It's too much on the ingredients, not on the relationship, not on the rasa. There's talk about rasa. But the thing is, there's only talk that it will happen. Right? They don't know how to make it happen. It's just, if you put the ingredients together and you have the right people at the right time, then magic happens. But how that magic happens, they have no clue. Right? That's the thing. In general, individuals might have an idea, but in general, it's just no clue. With the Vedic, it's a science. So even if you have no clue, you're following a system that will bring out the best. Does that make sense? I mean, just for example, let us take on just family. Okay, so now in India, you know, or even could say in Asia, the emphasis on this element of relationship, and then there's the ideal situations, right? And then you have the Krishna consciousness. So before in the Vedic culture, people are God conscious, right? So now we see that as God consciousness is dropping, then we see is that the elements or the items of family life that create rasa are still left. Right, so they have very tight families, very tight communities, but not Krishna conscious. You understand what I'm saying here? So in other words, materially it works, but the point is it's not just about having a functioning family, it's about being God conscious. Right, and then the family is a medium for expressing that. Does that make sense? So we see here is that they always start with these things because they're the externals, there's the facilities before they get to the actual mood here. Only because it's a sad thing. If it's the other way, then it starts off with Krishna. And then it drops back into the details. You understand? Does that make sense? So it's just like, let us say if I'm very happy, I'll tell about what's happening. If I'm not sure if you'll like what's happening, I'll give all the background before I get into the thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then we see is that we're seeing here how to connect this Dharma and Pancharatrik systems to Krishna. Like Pancharatra is also Dharma. It's just the Dharma of being focused simply on the Lord. Right? And the broader Vedic is then how to engage all the things that aren't necessarily direct, but at least they're neutral, if not supportive. Does that make sense? You know, like let's say taking a bath. It's neutral. Right? It's not that by taking a bath, you know, every moment, that every drop of water, you're just feeling that much more God conscious. You know, it's magic, right? No, it's supportive of being clean, so I'm being clean so I can go to the temple, I can serve Krishna. It's neutral. Does that make sense? Being in the temple room, now that is directly supportive. But it's the kirtan and taking darshan, the deity, and associating with Vaishnavas, hearing Bhagavatam, that is the direct devotional activity. You understand? So we function with these three. We avoid those that are not so supportive, and we and those things that are opposed. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here then Dharma is bringing out these points. So we get this balance, but it's not about the detail of the Vedic. That's given in other scriptures. Bhagavatam just gives the main connection. At what point you connect it? What's the essential point to be gained there? So that's why generally it's these rhetorical questions. It may be direct questions, but also rhetorical questions. Because then these get down to essence. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Catching that. Yeah. Because this is where, like we see, is confusions always come up about, well, if, you know, because we look at it, piety is good, but then when you compare it to devotional service, it's not good. So is piety good or not? It's good connected to Krishna, not good if it's not connected to Krishna. You know, but then why do we make the distinction between piety and impiety? Because piety is better to offer to Krishna than impiety. Right? That's the point. It's just quality of ingredients. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're buying for yourself, you might buy ingredients that aren't that great. You'll consider money. If you're buying for the deities, you generally want the best. You know what I'm saying? So why would you make a plan, a philosophy of getting on purpose second rate, third rate, tenth rate things to offer to the Lord? Because first rate isn't, you know, that's fanatic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So here we see he goes through the same process as Yudhishthira Maharaj. He starts on all the things that, okay, could it be that you're feeling compassion for others? Could it be elements of your own service you're not being able to do? You know, this and that. Or is it actually because Krishna's left and now you're feeling bereft of his association? But because here, think of this. Arjuna is with Krishna whenever he's around. Then when he goes to Hastinapur, generally, then they're not together. Okay, now for Bhumi Devi, now if Krishna's in Hastinapur or in Dwarka, she's always with him. You understand? So someone who's always with, the separation is greater than someone who's less often. It may be more, how you say, have that like acuteness to it, but it doesn't have the chronic element. You understand? Like that. So then Bhumi is going to feel very bad, you know. And the Rasa also. The Lord is her husband. Right, so. Verses 25 to 36.
Who is her husband?
Bhumi. Bhumi. Varaha Dev is her husband. Uh-huh. That's why Varaha goes to pick up the earth. Verses 25 to 36. Their son is, what's that, Balmasura. Yeah, somehow now they got into bad associations. So. Even the Lord's sense can go bad. So in other words, it's all about association. Right? Vlad Maharaj had good association. Right? He grew up in the ashram of Narad Muni. So he had good association. So even though he's born of the most demonic, you know, the demon's demon, right? It's still, he was a great devotee. And Balmasura, even though he's born to Bhumi and Varaha, then he became demoniac by bad association. Right? So that's why association is the most essential element.
Right.
Yes.
I think in the Vedas it is mentioned there's three factors, like birth,
yes,
and then associations, something else I don't remember. So association among those, this is the...
Because that's what deals with now. Your birth is dependent on the previous life. Your in last life, what was, you know, if anybody did the death ceremony, so that if you had pious credits, they come through. In other words, let's say you lead a very pious life, but if no one does the Shraddha rites, those don't go through to the next life. Right? So that means there's a lot of people not getting their pious credits. You understand? See, that's why these things are important. We can say, oh, we don't believe in that. So what? It doesn't matter. Little kids don't believe that, you know, playtime is over, you know. You know, it's just so many things people just don't believe. But it really, the material energy really doesn't care. You know, like that. It's not, because you're dealing with her in a generic way. She responds in a generic way. You know, so it's just the way it works. So that determines. So if that was there, then all those pious cred comes out. Then there's a better situation. If not, then you know it gets stuck. So that has that's already, you know, how you say it, an influence, right? Then what family you're born in, then that shows, because that's based on the previous. It's not that the family makes it. It's just that their consciousness then attracts you, otherwise it attracts someone else. Right? That it just depends on consciousness, so that you attract. Then that is an indication. That's why this whole system of caste by birth, it's not actually valid because it's not based on that, but it's a good indication. That's why it works to the point where people can function in that way and say it has a validity. Because it's basically showing where your consciousness and the parents' consciousness match,
right?
Right? Your the situations you'll be in and they'll be in are shared. So you know they're common. So then you can share those situations. And so, yeah. Then the next is the association. Right? So these other two you can't really do anything about. They're already there. So the point, what you can deal with is association. Does that make sense? So that's why, that's the thing, because that's what deals with now. Depending on who you associate with, then you become more involved or less involved. Okay, verses 25 to 36, the earth's reply. The earth replies that her misery is caused by her separation from Krishna's presence and by an increase of Kali's influence due to Krishna's absence. Maharaj Pariksit then arrives. So then we see it's about Krishna. So it's about Krishna in a specific relationship, but also by situation. Because when Krishna is present, the situation is better. When he's not, it's less. Therefore, Kali Yuga is able to influence. But it's not that Kali Yuga is the problem. The problem is Krishna's not there. Right? Like Kunti, she had so many problems. But seeing it in connection with Krishna, they weren't a problem for her. Right? They were Udipan to remember Krishna. Yeah? Yeah.
Maharaj, it seems that Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in the purport that when Krishna left, then Kali is more obvious, and then the influence, especially the weak people, those who are not, you know, God conscious.
Yes. No, because that's the easiest. These two things are easy. Go after the people who don't really have a commitment. Right? That means the people who are already committed to, you know, demoniac mentality, you just encourage them because they're already doing your work. Then those who are innocent, then those are easy. And then another easy place is, you see, you catch the intellectuals and the administrators. Because they're the ones that manage and set the... You know, it's like you drive down the street, you don't say what's on the billboards. You know? Or how many billboards there can be. Like, you know, in India, it's like... It's a matter of physics. It's just how many you can actually stuff into that little area. But in the West, there's rules on how often they can be. Because otherwise, they distract so much, you're not looking at the road. So they have it that there's a certain amount you can look away and still it'd be safe. So in other words, they want the economy, but at the same time, they want the safety.
Yeah.
And the only reason for that is it started off not because they thought about the safety first, and then, you know, the protection of the people, and then same time we need money to so the people will be able to be, the facilities there. It started off with the economics. Therefore, there were as many billboards in India, but because the roads were better, the cars were faster, therefore more people were dead. Right? So then people, there's a concern, and then after 20, 30, 40, 50 years, then... You know, hey, you know, they do something about it.
Yeah.
You know, they try to get these bounds. So, they're what you're exposed to, what's allowed in the press, what's allowed in the television, what's allowed, you know, all these different things. That's controlled by the government. We can say no, it's a free country. You can say whatever you want. Certain things just don't come out in the news. They just don't. You know, not that it should. But it's the whole point is they allow whatever's there. So if they say it's good, then the common person follows. Right? And if they say it's bad, then generally the common person will do it. There'll always be individuals. You understand? So these are the you catch the top, basically you have the whole thing. So that's why you see Prabhupada's always talking about the brahmanas and the administrators. Because if they're God-conscious, they're function, they understand the standards, they're trained, then the whole system works perfectly. You know, as good as it gets in the world. There's no such thing as perfect. You know. But at least it's workable, it's comfortable. You know. Okay. Speaking in the form of a cow, the earth deity replied, "O Dharma, you were also maintained on your four legs by the mercy of Lord Krishna, the reservoir of all good qualities." So in other words, the qualities he's maintained on are coming from Krishna, the reservoir of qualities. It's not that they stand, it's not that, oh, you have these qualities yourself. They're coming from Krishna. Right? So that happiness spread throughout the universe. Footnote 6. The principles of religion are laid down by the Lord himself, and the executor of such laws is Dharmaraj, or Yamaraj. Happiness in the world depends proportionally on the maintenance of the religious principles. Individually or collectively, the best part of valor is to maintain the principles despite all kinds of odds. Thus, one can be happy during the span of life and ultimately return to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.16.25, purport. So here he's showing it's proportionate to him. And so the better thing is to maintain it, even if it's not looking good. So we could say as well, Duryodhana was smart. He saw the situation, he saw opportunities, he took it. Yes, but then he wasn't happy during the span of his life. And his span of life was shortened. Right? He should have lived longer, but he didn't. Right? But Yudhishthir, the best part of valor, maintained the principles despite all kinds of odds. And so he went through all kinds of difficulty, but the Lord was there. Right? The Lord didn't go visit Duryodhana to go hang out, to give support. He did with Yudhishthir. Anytime there's a problem, Krishna came. But Duryodhana, he would go speak to him on behalf of Yudhishthir. But otherwise, he never went to associate with Duryodhana. So that's the things he followed despite. That's the best. One could say it's not practical, this, that, or we have to be reasonable, can't be fanatic. Yes, you can do that. That's what's called common. That's the thing. That's common. That's what the common person does. That's not, well, that's why the example is that, you know, somebody down to the guy who runs the corner shop. There's Bhumi Devi and Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir and Arjuna. You know, Parikit, Sukadev. That's why it's these people, because they follow this. And you see the results they get. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that because the material actually doesn't matter, but because it's the medium used for serving the Lord, therefore it matters. Right? But on its own, to matter without its connection to Krishna, then it's not good. Like, see, we see Bhumi Devi opens with that. She opens with Krishna and the how things are connected to Krishna. That's what Bhagavatam does. Okay. Among those good qualities are 1. Truthfulness, 2. Cleanliness, 3. Intolerance of another's unhappiness, 4. The power to control anger, 5. Self-satisfaction, 6. Straightforwardness. 7. Steadiness of mind. So straightforwardness is both on, you know, all the platforms, material and spiritual. Steadiness of mind. 8. Control of the sense organs. 9. Responsibility. 10. Equality. 11. Tolerance. 12. Equanimity. 13. Faithfulness. 14. Knowledge. 15. Absence of sense enjoyment. Right? Because control of the senses is one thing, absence of sense enjoyment is another. If you think it's to enjoy, but you know you shouldn't, you might try to control the senses. But when you don't see the desire, when there's no desire for sense gratification, then the senses are automatically controlled. It's an easier process.
Right. Is it the same like jhana and sannyas? Same,
yes,
mentality?
Yes. Sannyas already involves the jhana. Like that. The jhana doesn't, it kind of gets to, but not, you know what I'm saying? It's compatible with sannyas. In other words, the renunciation and sannyas, they go together very nicely. So if you have two persons that have that mentality, they can work together because the goal is the same. Just one starts with that, the other one ends with that. Right? 16. Leadership. 17. Chivalry. 18. Influence. 19. The power to make everything possible. 20. The discharge of proper duty. Power to make everything possible is by depending upon the Lord. That's where the power comes from. We don't have the power. But you know that that's what it is. You have then with that determination, the chivalry, the knowledge, these self-satisfaction controls, then you can steadiness, then you can anything's possible. The discharge of proper duty. That's interesting. This is number 20. And number 20 of Krishna's qualities is he does everything according to the Shastra. So he discharges proper duty. It's interesting. Yeah, the two come together. 21, complete independence. 22, dexterity. That independence means you're not dependent upon material energy. Doesn't mean you just do whatever you like. 22, dexterity. 23, magnanimity. 23, fullness of all beauty. 24, serenity. 25, kindheartedness. 26, ingenuity. 27, gentility. 28, magnanimity. 29, determination. 30, perfection in all knowledge. Right, so perfection means you see the connection to the spiritual. Right. 31, proper execution. 32, possession of all objects of enjoyment. Right, you have them. It means if you don't want them, you have them. If you want them, they're hard to get. Right? So in other words, if you have all objects of enjoyment, you know there's detachment. Otherwise, why do they have them? 33, joyfulness. 34, immovability. Right? It means one's always fixed. Right? 35, fidelity. Right? So you have relationships, you stick to those. Right? That was before it was faithfulness. Right? 36, fame. 37, worship. 38, pridelessness. Notice how all these things that seem to be contradictory all are put together. Because generally we think of the cultured man, he's not very practical. The practical guy is not necessarily cultured. But here the point is the two go together. The cultured man, who is properly trained, he's the most practical. Right? Nicest relationships, considers others, is able to work together nicely. So it's all based on these. Interesting to note, now she's opening a conversation. She's opening with qualities. Right? We see when Manu, then he gets into that you're going to follow the laws there if you have these 10 qualities. Right? At least 5. Nard Muni, when he opens the discussion on Dharma with Yudhishthira Maharaj, he opens with 30 qualities. So in other words, the Vedic system is about qualities, not skills. You understand? You have the qualities, then the skills become very useful. But if you don't, then they become a trouble. Right? It means, look at it. The guys who put together an atom bomb, did they have skills or not?
Yeah.
Great skills. Skills beyond anybody could imagine. Right? It means you went from, how you say, the Wright brothers sitting there with their little, you know, balsa airplane, you know, like that, at Kitty Hawk just trying to catch a little breeze. Right? And then, basically, you could say 16 years later, they had war machines. They actually had war machines. Not so developed, but they were war machines. They hadn't even started commercial airlines, nothing like that. But they had that. Then World War II, they had really serious stuff, you know. Like I said, Flying Fortress, you know, it's just a flying, you know, basically destruction. You know, like that. So these develop. So where does that come from? Skills. They see something. They take their skills. They make something out of it. You know, but it was much later that they figured out. Okay, then you know, making money is also good, right? You can control it. That's the best. If you can make money off of it, then that's next. You understand? So it's. That's the problem. That's why Bhumi and everyone, they point out qualities first, not skills first. If the quality's not there, you don't teach the skills. Like in the Vedic martial arts, then they'll teach basic movements to anybody who is, you know, able-bodied, let's say, to protect the village or anything like that. So they know basic how to fight and stuff like that. But beyond that, more technical stuff, they won't teach if they don't have qualities. So if the character's not there, there's a certain... It's a complete set. Like that. But they won't teach the finer principles behind it. Right? Somebody that comes this way at the stake, you block that way. But they don't show where the power comes from. They don't show all these different things. Because if you don't have character and you have this, then there's problems. Does that make sense? So that's why these qualities, you know, we'll read through them, but the point is these qualities are necessary. We don't have them. That's why the modern culture doesn't function so well. Skills they have coming out their ears. They're intelligent, they're qualified in that way, but they don't have the character. That's the weakness. All you have to do is add the character. But you're not going to be able to just add character. They don't have the piety to add character. Right? I mean, it's just like you want to do business, you have to have capital. So you don't have the pious capital to create more piety. Right? So therefore, bhakti will create it. Right? So for us, it's actually straightforward. It's just about Krishna consciousness. Then the material gets supported by that and comes very naturally. On other ages, they had the pious capital, so they would work on that. So it's almost like they're working on the spiritual and the material as two separate things. But they would see connection, but it's not necessarily that strong. But for us, if we don't see the connection, neither is going to happen. Right? Because we see, if we don't have material facility, devotees blame Krishna. Right? Get upset, go away, go start their own, do their own thing. Right? Like that. So you have to have that. But if it's only that, then they go away also. So in other words, they have to have proper training. Then you have the character and everything that you can apply it. Then it goes nicely. But you have to know, bhakti's first. The material facilities, they come and go. So if you get something, great. If you don't get something, then don't feel bad. Because whoever has today won't have tomorrow. You know, it's just a matter of time. Okay. Perfection in all knowledge, proper execution, possession, okay. Joyfulness, right? Means that they're happy. They're not grumpy. Because it's grumpfulness is not one of the immovability, fidelity, fame, worship, pridelessness, being 39, being as the personality of Godhead. Right? Being means existence. So you see your existence as connected to the Lord. Right? That's necessary. You don't see your existence connected to the Lord. It's that, oh, we have our own existence. Right? Does that make sense? You know, God's everywhere, God's in everything, you know, that fine, but I have my own existence. You understand? It's not consistent. No, my existence is dependent upon the Lord. If God is everywhere and everything, then I'm part of that. That means then I'm dependent on His existence is my existence. So my existence isn't separate from Him. So to make this separate existence. You understand? We start off with a good philosophical point, and then once that's established, everyone relaxes, then we separate it into the, you know, spiritual and the mundane, and then apply the mundane. You understand? It's a trick of niti. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you package something very nice, you present it, people buy the package, and then afterwards you discard the package and just use the thing. If you need to keep using the package, you will. But after a while, the package gets old. As I said. Yeah. Okay. 40. Eternity and many other transcendental attributes that are eternally present and never to be separated from Him. Lord Krishna has now concluded His performance of transcendental pastimes upon the earth. And in His absence, the age of Kali has spread its influence everywhere. Why? Because these qualities, His qualities went with it. Right? Because people in this age aren't looking for those qualities. They're looking for, you know, facility. But the thing is they come from quality. So when he goes, takes his qualities with him, then based on no qualities, you have the same skill set with no qualities, now it begins the age of Kali. Right? So in other words, skill set without qualities, Kali Yuga. Skill set with qualities, then Dwapara Yuga. More qualities, Treta Yuga. Most qualities, Satya Yuga. It's not that the skill set's different. Right? Arjuna, we see in Dwapara Yuga, when he came back after practicing, you know, his archery in the Gurukul, came back to eat at night in the ashram, then he picked up food with his hand and put it in his mouth. Mechanics didn't change. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, It's a matter of how many qualities you add. So this idea, oh, it's Kali Yuga, we can't do this. No, the skills are the same. You can apply them in any age. The point is you need character to apply them. So if we're saying, I can't apply these, means I'm saying I don't have character. Or I don't know I should have character. Or I'm not worried about it. Or, you know, does that make sense? It's a comment on character. But it's always presented as something else. That's just the way one works, right? Okay. It is because of this that I am very aggrieved. Yes.
Right. By studying Bhagavad Gita, we are supposed to develop character.
Yes, because Krishna has all these qualities. When he left, he took them with him. But now, he's here as Bhagavatam, so that means all these qualities are available. So if we associate with Krishna and his devotees in the form of Bhagavatam, in the association of devotees, we develop those qualities. Then naturally, then we can apply them. But it's not about getting the qualities, it's about serving Krishna in the association of devotees. Qualities come automatically. Right? But you have to be open to them. If you're inimical towards qualities, then of course Krishna won't give them. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're going to give, you've made a menu, you're giving food to everybody, but if someone doesn't like a particular preparation, you don't give it to them. It's there for them. If they want it, they can have it. It's nice. Everybody else likes it. But if they don't want it, you just don't give. It's not, why doesn't Krishna give, you know? You know, it's funny. You know, why doesn't he force us to be Krishna conscious? Yeah, but when he does, oh, why is he forcing? You know, in other words, it's about us winning, you know. I'm the victim, right here. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
In that regard, you can't force relationship either.
No.
So is it the more senior one that has to work?
The senior one is the one that's supposed to have more experience and maturity, how to present it so that the junior one appreciates it.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, 25 to 30. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, the earth said, you know all about Dharma since you are Dharma personified. Dharma said, though I know, I want to hear from your mouth. Therefore she speaks. Because right, that's what the subject he likes to hear. It's not a matter of ego, because he also has this absence of ego and stuff like that. He just likes it as a topic. Yes.
Those qualities, the 40 qualities, they describe Krishna, devotees, or just the age?
Yes. No, it's what's lacking in the age. These are lacking, therefore you get Kali Yuga.
Otherwise they're available to everybody, more or less?
Yeah, it didn't say, you know, has, I say unlimited universes expand from his body, you know, omniscient, omnipotent, so those qualities weren't mentioned. So these are qualities that Krishna has that are lacking in this age, so that means these are qualities people could have. If they function with these qualities, then it wouldn't be Kali Yuga. So, in other words, even though technically, by astrologically, it was Kali Yuga, it wasn't manifesting because people still had these qualities. But as soon as Krishna left, then these qualities going with them, the people didn't have it. They started manifesting the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Does that make sense? Right? Yes.
That's a huge responsibility, being a senior. And I'm feeling a little, not me being senior, but in the family situation, I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed with the thought that I have to work so hard at relationships.
Yes, but that's what it means. See, that's why it says one should be trained.
Yeah.
Because then you know what you're getting involved in. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise we just think, oh, it's easy, you know, I see the other lady with the kid and bouncing and the kid, you know, smiles and gives a little laugh and I want that, yeah. Okay, that was about 3 seconds. Now there's another 23 hours, 59 minutes and, you know, how you say, and 60 seconds, you know, like that. That you have, that goes along with it.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing. You know what you're getting involved in. So if it's a relationship, then these endeavors aren't difficult. So in other words, see it on the basis of the relationship, the benefits, the interaction, that. Then naturally the work is there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I'm here for my training. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Therefore she speaks. Satyam means speaking about things as they are. So that means the facts and the spiritual element. Right? And as they are, if we want to put in perception, yes, so it has to be presented according to the perception of who we're dealing with. That's true. But the point is that perception must be seen in line with the actual things as they are. And as they are actually means the spiritual. Because the material, there's facts, but then the point is it's not about the facts, it's the perception of the facts that actually the conditioning works with. That's going to be different from person to person. But the as they are, its connection with Krishna, that's universal. Does that make sense? So that's why this idea, if I'm truthful, I just have to be bluntly say whatever I think. There's a kind of... The West have a name for it.
Blunt,
but there's a vow where they kind of say that they're going to say whatever they think. You know, so sometimes that works out nice for them, sometimes it doesn't. Can't remember what it is. But, you know, they're really, really blunt. They don't bother making it pleasant. Because then if it's pleasant, that's not as it is. But the point is why does facts have to be unpleasant? You know what I'm saying? So the thing is it has to be about the situation you're in, but connected to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not that everything has to be all touchy-feely when it's about me or those I care about, but those I don't care about, then I'm, you know, just straightforward and I'm just being honest and just being truthful here. No, because truth is Krishna. Then facts are the situation. We have to be... Yes.
Can we say that we have our own qualities in our nature, and if we develop better qualities, it means they are not part of our nature before?
No, it's just like this. Let us say you have a gold ring, and it is sitting in the mud. Okay. Is it any less gold? No. But do you appreciate the qualities of the gold ring? No, that's what you're doing. So all you're doing is, well, when it says cleansing the mirror of the mind, it's just cleansing it. It's not. It doesn't say get a new mirror of the mind. Yeah, what are you doing, Prabhu? I'm getting a new mirror from my mind. Like that. It's not that. You're cleansing the mirror. So in other words, as you cleanse, then these things, these qualities start to manifest. Because the soul naturally has 50 qualities. Right, and these 40 here are basically, you know, doing that 50. Right, so these are the natural qualities that one works with, because we're talking about human. So human is where the maximum qualities of the soul can manifest. Right, you know, it's just like, let's say a deer. A deer is gentle, but it's not necessarily chivalrous. You know, like that. So you have all these different these aspects. So human form is where the maximum amount of these qualities can actually be seen. That's why it's recommended. Because Krishna, then these 50 are the basis on which he interacts. Like that. And the others, these are, you know, basically from 50 to 60, these are kind of, you know, godness kind of stuff. You know? And then 60 to 64, again, that's the platform of that's the amazingness or the depth of his interaction based on those qualities. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Marge, about these qualities and skills.
Huh.
I'm not sure exactly how to word it, but sometimes you see that in our society we have sometimes people with high quality. And sometimes some of them tend to kind of not get really involved in kind of either like fixing things or actually, and it's more like those with skills or something.
Yes.
Passion.
Yes.
And so they just by those with qualities not taking actual charge of things,
mm-hmm.
those with skills but not quality automatically fill the gap.
Yes. Yeah.
So, how does it work? I mean, how does he do so? But is also kind of a limit of those who quality, or is that's
yeah. See, this is it's a very simple thing, but it's somehow or another I've noticed it's not easily understandable unless if one hasn't been exposed to it. Because the general concept is whoever is in control is on the top. But actually it's whoever has the qualities and knows the standards is on the top. But the one with the skills and all that, they're the one on the top of the practical management. They're the ones that apply it. But on top of that is those that have the qualities and the character and understand the standards that are on top of them.
So, it should be.
Okay. Yeah. No, but it's how it works. It means that if we don't use it, it goes down. It just goes. It means you can get it to run to a particular degree. So the West has gotten used to kind of working and calling that good. But we see is that what is going on in these Vedic literatures, that's what it can be. Right? So that's the thing, is that if one is, you know, like the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. That's the guy with the skills, no character. So the point is you have to have the guy who can't see the forest for the trees taking some direction from the guy who can see the forest, because that's all he sees. So he doesn't see the individual trees necessarily, but he sees the forest. So then the other one sees the trees, but he gets, is able to get his bearings on where that tree fits in the forest. Otherwise, you make that tree to be the most important tree when it's not necessarily.
How do you reestablish that, like, nature? I'm thinking right now as one example, there could be many.
Yes.
I'm thinking of a national council somewhere, even not in this continent. And somehow you have the people with we could say, material skills.
Yes.
Got the positions, they're in charge, the titles.
Yes.
There are other people who are more quality, more vision.
Yes. Yes.
But somehow they are not maybe ostracized, but marginalized.
But that's the point, is who marginalizes them? The ones with skills, because they look at, if there's anything getting in the way of the shortest point between A and B, then it's not practical. But because of that narrow vision, they get from A to B, but then they also lose B.
I agree, but how you reestablish the normal?
The point is it's training. Unless everybody is trained, then it's not going to happen. The problem is those who need the training are generally the ones that don't want it. You know, it's just like kids. Do they want to go to school?
No.
No, they're the ones that need training. They don't like that. You know, it's like let's say a person has a particular diet that he likes, and that diet is making him sick. He doesn't want to hear about change in diet. You know, so that's the difficulty. So, I mean, we have example of the importance of it, that Parasaram took it upon himself to correct those who weren't interested in training. But, you know, that's not so practical, because as Nityananda Prabhu points out, if you're going to deal with that, you'd have to get rid of everybody in Kali Yuga. So that's not going to work as a plan, right? At the end of Kali Yuga, yes, but now... So it's a matter of if the appreciation is there that what Prabhupada's talking about, he knows what he's talking about, and it's real, and he knows what to do, and the Vedic literatures know what to do. They are authority. Then we would try to apply that. Just like the modern scientist, he goes about his speculative theory. Our own scientists take the Vedic and try to apply that into the modern science, and they find it works. It's just the modern scientist isn't interested in applying the Vedic. There's this idea, oh, there's something else more practical. But the point is the Veda is simply the manual that comes along with the product. So you have the material world, how to operate it, that's the Shastra. The Vedic literatures tell how the material nature operates. Just like you get a washing machine, you get a manual that tells you how it works. So you can say, I have my own ideas, but the machine's going to work the way it works. You know? So that's the thing. And just because, let's say, it's basically working, let's say some of these, let's say, like take something like Word, you know? Now, as a program, people use it, you know, they're able to make a document and do some, you know, spell check and a few things and move some borders around and things like that. But they probably do 5, 6, 10 things that program would do. That program would do about 1,500 things. They just don't know what it could do. Now, someone who does publishing or that, they use a lot more of that. You know? So that's the thing is that, yes, they're getting by. But the thing is, if they actually understood what's being offered, then they would take it. But then the problem is it takes qualification. So you have to have qualification to appreciate. You need training and qualification. So therefore, we don't emphasize that. We emphasize the bhakti element. Because that's the only way we'll get. So if the sadhana, the devotional, the pure devotional service, right? It's just like, let's say you may have, you know, also just as an arbitrary example, there was a very large meeting here of leadership in Mayapur last year. But in the whole conversation of the formal presentations, there was nothing about pure devotional service and the importance of attaining that. It was about the technical skill of administration, which was based on what Prabhupada was saying, which is good. But unless you make the connection like Bhumi makes, then it will always maintain that weakness that the quality is not the importance, the technique. So if the emphasis is on pure devotional service, how to establish pure devotional service in the movement, that has to be managed because the general devotee is not. So therefore, that's what administrator does. Administrator means managing the facilities for people to become pure devotees. It's not managing to manage. No, that's not. If you're just doing that, then that's the pot washer is pot washing. So that means then somebody, again, has to be, same thing, has to be above the managers to make sure that they tell them what to do. But like you said, how do you get? It's all from knowledge. It's where it starts. It starts from knowledge, and then from knowledge is practice. So Upanishad mentions you have Shravana, then once you have Shravana, then Manana, which means contemplation and practice. So there's contemplation, no practice, or practice, no contemplation. Right? And if we contemplate, generally it's not based on Shastra. But it's what we gain from Shastra, contemplate that, practice it, then you get realization. When you get realization, then it's just natural. That is what you do, it's your value. But until then, it's intellectual. So the process, they have to actually intellectually approach it. And so then that element has to be there. If that's caught, then whatever's going on now is fine, as long as that's understood. Because as you pointed out, actually there's a huge amount of people who have the spiritual qualification and vision, but they're not applying that because they're ending up as day-to-day managers. And then you have the day-to-day managers who therefore don't get direction. And then you have those who have both some character and managerial skill, they stay out of the way totally because the system is just not very viable. Right? So to catch them, you'd have to bring in this higher thing. Then you'd see that these persons are there. Then they can engage those others who have good ability. And then with time, then they'll get character and all that, and naturally then they'll train the next generation. So therefore, it's sustainable. But it's only sustainable through knowledge and practice. You do it, and you value it, you give it to the next generation. Like that. So then,
how many generations will it take?
3, you see something good. At the third generation. See, it means the first generation is, you know, serious about Krishna consciousness. Their children, then that's their culture. But at the same time, they're exposed to a lot of the first generation kind of scene. But it's their culture. Now there's the next generation. Then you don't have that. And then with the fourth, you know, that's going to be magic because then the grandparents aren't first generation. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So. You know, and therefore the Vedic system, if people get married earlier, and you actually see great-grandparents. But the modernists, you know, you're lucky if you, you know, die a parent, let alone a grandparent, you know, like that. But, you know, we see Arjuna, it's mentioned. You know, friends, you know, uncles, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, they were all, because the whole system is, you know, so it's like that. That's there, but at the same time, is that's not the necessity, but it does help. Definitely, it'll help. You know, like Brahma, he definitely sees great grandchildren like that. Yeah. So the whole point is this knowledge. That's why Prabhupada said our movement is a movement of education. We're an educational movement. So actually what we're doing is managing an educational movement. It's like, you know, managing a big school. So that's the kind of qualification. Management is management. You know, it has its particulars when you apply it into education. But that's actually what we have to do. If that's seen, if we try to take it as a corporation or a governance, then we'll fail. Because it's not. Because if it's a government, if it's not practical, you don't have the post. If it's a corporation, if it's not making money, you don't have the post.
If
it's a governance, it means a government. If it's not actually working, right? The government should be able to come in 6 months, turn it around. And if it's not, then you need new people. And if it's a corporation, if in 6 months they haven't turned it around, it means that's immediate. And then full turnaround should be in 3 years. If they haven't done that, then you also need to change everybody. And that's what they would do in the quote-unquote real world. But we, fortunately, don't live in the real world. So, you know, we can go on with all the, you know, like that. So that's the point, is that if it's not caught, then there's something wrong. So then that's because we're a Brahminical society. We engage all four varnas, but the overall flavor is Brahminical, not Kshatriya or Vaishya. As soon as we try to bring in, because we won't really bring in the Kshatriya, because how many are there? It's not a prominent thing. The prominence of Kshatriya culture disappeared after World War I. You know, that means the world basically made sure of it, to get rid of this whole kind. It's not that the people are gone, it's just they stay out of the way. You don't hear about them. Right, and then the bourgeois came up as that's the prominent thing, you know. And, you know, but that was all starting. You know, how you say, you'd have to say is that you know, the French were always on the cutting edge, you know, the bourgeois. You know, they brought up. So that was the whole thing, is that it's all about having money and therefore having position and power, as opposed to having qualities and therefore qualifying to be in position and power. So that's the difference. Nowadays, you have knowledge, okay, nice, but if you have money, everybody listens. Like that. You know? It's just like we had here. Ambarish says, we're doing it this way, and everyone says, yes. You know? Because if not, he says, well, I, you know, I'm taking my, you know, bank book and going home. And it's everyone, no, it's fine. Yeah, great, great. You know, so that's the whole thing. Rather than, you know, here's knowledge, here's that, you know, we're not seeking out those with knowledge, those that have those qualities. Then, like you said, they get sidelined, because to work with that is, it takes a longer time. But once it, work with this, start from this knowledge base, it takes a longer time, but once it's established, it works really well. Like what you can, let's say, what you can teach a postgraduate goes so much faster than anything before that. Because of that basis, and then they can actually learn to think and everything like that. So the whole idea is that if you start from knowledge, then and practice, then all the other material arrangements happen, and even the understanding of devotional service happens. But that's what Prabhupada says. That's what we have to do. We have to create. In other words, if you create Brahmins, then you can create Kshatriyas. And Kshatriyas will create a peaceful environment that the Vaishyas and Shudras will prosper. You don't have to create Vaishyas and Shudras. They're there. Maybe not good quality, but they're always there. But you have to have Brahmins to have Kshatriyas. So this idea is we'll just make administration on its own. It's impossible. You have to create Brahmins. If you don't create Brahmins, there can't be Kshatriyas. And so Prabhupada's done that, but like you said, we don't recognize it. Kshatriya thinks they'll function on their own. But if they don't function with the Brahmins, it does not work. And we see, it's not working. Like that. But you go back in time, where there was that element of that spiritual. People come in a floundering temple, they turn it around in 6 months. No joke. You know, and you say, evidence after evidence after evidence. And you say, well, now things are bigger and developed. No, they're smaller. You only have to turn around 11 deities and 5 devotees. That's all you have to turn around. You know, before they had to, you know, turn around a temple with 100 devotees, 500 devotees. You know, like Savas, he turned around L.A. That's a manager. So you can see it's not theory. You can practically see it. It's just you can go here, success. Take it back. You see the person. You see how they're doing. Chopati, 7,000 devotees. That was the last time I heard. I'm sure it's probably in 8 to 10 now. Like that. Why? Because they work on this system that we just discussed. The leadership is only seeing to the devotional standards. And then those with the material skills, they follow those persons and trying to follow their standard, apply it. And you have the biggest yatra in the world. And this is not just a bunch of Hindus that just stop by for Janmashtami. This is people that are way more qualified, probably, than any Western devotee we have in our movement, except for a handful. And that's and you're talking hundreds here. Not one, two. You're talking hundreds. One of the devotees was the 10th richest in India, just for forever, until to get more into service, he dropped it down a little bit. But he was in control of that. He wants to run at number 10, or wants to run at, you know, number 15. You know, he can do that. Like that. He's making the money. Like, you know. So these it's happening, it's real. It works. The temple president's there, see to the spiritual standard. The community thing is managed by the community. But it has to follow the standards set by the temple. Not the control of the money by the temple. They don't deal with that. So it's not about who's in control of the material platform, it's about who's in control of the spiritual platform. That's what makes that zone work. That's a perfect example. They're following the Vedic thing. Why? Is the person who runs it grew up in India. So they can relate to that. They lived in Mats. All Mats have a Mat manager and a spiritual head. It works all over India. There's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. They all work. They all got money. Why? They all work because they work that use that system. But the Western one, they don't. It doesn't necessarily have that. So that's the thing, is that it works. It's proven. Even today. But the problem is It's in another category. We can't see it. Like dogs can hear high sounds. We can't. We don't have the qualification. So that's that we don't have the exposure. You know, how many people have exposure to things beyond their little area? Like that. That's the difficulty. But we find those who can relate beyond, they can do amazing things. And they do them. So that's the principle. It is doable, but you have to accept that this is how it's done. Then discuss and everybody try to work out how to apply it. You know, what's going to work for them and their time frame and their situation and all that. But until it's accepted, then whatever is going on will develop so many nice things, but they won't be sustainable, because unless you have this combination. Brahmins can't function without Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas can't function without Brahmins. That's the way it's made. That's what Manu says. They can't function without each other. So to have it, to not do it in this way, it will fail. It will fail. You can say, well, the West going on, but it's not any one particular thing that's in the West. You want to have fun. Look up companies that have been there for a long time. Once I saw a list of companies. There's one Japanese company that makes soy sauce that goes back 1,000 years. It's the same company, still doing the same thing. A few companies go back to the late 1700s, like that. Generally, they're perfume factories, and they're in France, like that. Then you had some early 1800s, a lot more from the late 1800s, and then from like that. And it comes up, but you're talking about handfuls here. You know, the whole list, I think there's a few hundred. And then modern things are constantly turning over. Constantly. And then we're going to base that these guys are stable. You know? So that's the difficulty. It's not difficult. It's not sustainable. It's not secure. There's no security in a modern corporation. Any moment they can get rid of you. And by the political field and the modern governance, it's also insecure. And devotees join the movement looking for security. So then how will bringing the same thing that made them join, now you're going to establish that? You know, that's not going to work. So one has to be careful. It's not that these management elements are the problem. It's that you're doing it not connected to Krishna is the problem. Connected to Krishna means Krishna's system. Not just saying, yeah, we're doing it for Krishna. Yeah, well, show how. It means it's mechanics. Show the mechanics. Then we know you know. Otherwise, then it's talk. Okay. So it's doable. And the fun part is everybody involved and present and any of the leadership in the society is qualified to take part in the system. But it's just who's on the skill side and who's on the only on the standard side. Like that. But everybody's qualified. It's not that you have to change everything. No, everybody's qualified. Because they're devotees. Continuing on 13. Socham means purity. Yes, Krishna is the supreme pure, so if it's not pure, it doesn't connect so well. Daya means sympathizing with others' sufferings, protecting those who have surrendered, and being friendly to devotees.
Yeah.
This is Vishwanath is explaining her the same list. Right? Means she's starting with the truthfulness, so that's satya. Then next is cleanliness, so that's saucham. Right? Three, intolerance of others' unhappiness, that's daya. So he's giving more extended explanations. Right, because here's me sympathizing with others' suffering, protecting those who have surrendered, and being friendly to devotees. Right? Shanti, because someone may say, oh, that's mundane, right? Sympathizing with others, but that's what daya means. So Rajatanya is knowing for being, you know, daya or die on the tie, you know, like that. So it's not sympathizing means, but you still see the element connected to Krishna. What's not, that's what causes the problem. Shanti means having control of the mind even when angry. So that's more difficult. Having control is one thing. When you're angry, having control, that's another. Tyaga means generosity, right? So that's what's so nice. The acharyas point out these subtle little points we might miss. Okay, tyaga means generosity, right? Because it's not that you just renounce, but you're giving away. Because otherwise, I don't have anything. It's still about me. But if I don't have, because I give it away, right? That's the real thing. In other words, I have something. It's a value. Give it to someone who will value it. Not just getting rid of it's important. It's seeing that it's used nicely. It's Krishna's, right? Santosha means satisfied in the self. Arjava means honesty, not being crooked. Right? So in other words, there's no motives and things like that. Sama means control of the mind, by which one has firm vows. Right? So that's how you can tell the mind's control, because you're fixed in what you're doing. Dhamma means control of the external senses. Right? So sama is the internal senses, dhamma is the external senses. Tapas means acting according to one's nature, such as kshatriya during pastimes. So tapasya, austerity, means acting according to your nature. So people who are saying we don't have to act according to nature, actually the reason is they don't have the quality of austerity. Because if you're not austere, you can't act according to your nature. Right? Because you want to, any opportunity you see, you try to take that. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's just like people are there, you wait in line, you wait your turn. You know, but if you see an opportunity, everyone turned this way, you could run up to the front. You know, it's not, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. So here is that tapas, acting means according to one's nature. Samya means devoid of thinking one is an enemy and another is a friend. Right? So in other words, there's those that you can interact nicely with, there's those you don't. So therefore, you interact with those you can interact nicely with. It's not a man that you have to be an enemy to not interact. It's just... Tatiksha is tolerance when others offend you. Right? Because otherwise we can be tolerant when it's just the external energy. It's hot, it's cold, it's rainy. But when others offend you, that's the thing. That's the manadena. Amanina, you respect others. Manadena means you're not looking for yourself. That means you may deserve, you don't get, but it doesn't bother you. Uparati is indifference to attaining material enjoyment. Right? So indifference, it's not whether it comes or not. That's you're just doing your duties. You're doing your tapasya. You're austere. So therefore, whatever enjoyments come. We take it if you're austere, there's no enjoyments. No, austere just means you do your duties. Then, if something nice comes, it comes nice. If it doesn't come nice, it doesn't come nice. It's not that it has to be nice or it has to be not nice. You understand? Sometimes we get attached to the negative and think that's the positive. Shutam means judging. Yes.
These subtle elements of these qualities. The acharyas can point them out because they're living in an atmosphere where it's just a natural extension and weird.
No, they can point them out because they have them. You know what I'm saying? That's how they're pointing out. It's not because of the atmosphere, because like Haridas Thakur, did he live in that ideal atmosphere? You know, when he was young or this or that? No. So it's because they have the qualities they can point out. Just like if somebody is good at doing something and they're watching someone who's not as good, where they have a mistake, they can point it out. And so they can point it out practically. So this is the thing, they're able to teach. Because this is teaching. To just say it's there, okay, you've given the fact, but to show what that means in the application, that's what's special. So, Shruta means judging by scripture. Because if it's not according to scripture, then what's the point? Like that. It has to get back to scripture at some place. Even if it's very distant, it has to make it there. Right? And so we will naturally always make the closest connection we can. But if it's, you know, not so direct, but still it makes it, then it's worthwhile. Jnana means omniscience and gratitude. So you can see things. You because if you have knowledge, you can apply that knowledge in what's going on, and you can see how people are interactive and nice. Right? Because gratitude means, well, it's interesting, gratitude, because here you see gratitude, omniscience, gratitude, etc. And this is jnanam, knowledge. We think gratitude is an emotional thing, but actually gratitude is an intellectual thing. Because to be grateful, you have to have the intelligence to notice what the other person is actually doing. Right? Feelings you might not. Intelligence you see. Is that gratitude. Okay, the parents are taking care of you, doing so many nice things, everything like that. But you have to notice what they're doing. Then you can be grateful. If you don't notice, you're not grateful. Right? So that's why a lot of times in the, how you say, the Malecha school of hard knocks, that curriculum, it's when they're 30, have children that are growing up and don't listen to them, then they understand what their parents are talking about. Then they start becoming grateful. You know, took 30 years, but hey, 30 is better than nothing.
I was just in the similar vein. You said generosity is, I can't remember.
Yeah, generosity means you're giving it away. It's a jaga. It's not that you renounce it. We only look at, I'm giving it up. But the point is once you've given up, now what happens to it? It's, if it belongs to Krishna, you're just going to leave it there? Yeah. So it has to be set up.
Giving to somebody who values it.
Yeah. So in other words, it's the setup is there. That's tyag. The arrangement is there. So you end up with nothing, but you've given it away.
You benefit from that.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the real point. You can be renounced because you're charitable. You're generous. You know, if you're not generous, then how you'll be renounced? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you can't give anything up. Does that make sense? Yeah. Virakti means absence of taste for material enjoyment. Aishvarya means is control of others. Because right? That's opulence. You control others, that's opulence. You don't control others, it's not so much opulence. Sauryam is determination in battle. Tejas is influence. Okay, here again, Tejas. Balam is skill. Yeah, this Shankarshan is Jnanam and Balam. So, omniscience and gratitude and skill. So you have that they go together. If you don't really have knowledge, you know, or that if you can't put these together. So skill is one thing, but you have to have Jnanam. But Smriti means searching out what should be done as duty. You look for it, not look for how to get out of it. Right? That's called criminal, right? Svatantriyam is non-dependence on others. Koshalam is skill in arts and play. Non-dependence on others. Yeah. That, which one is that one? Do you see what number it is?
21.
Complete independence. That was Satyam. Then what's after complete independence?
Dexterity.
So dexterity is skill in arts and play. Okanti is beauty. Daryam is not being agitated. So that's serenity, right? Mardvam is being very young and being tender with prema. So that's, okay, kind-heartedness. Pragalbhyam is extreme boldness. So that's ingenuity. Parasya is mildness, gentility. Shila means good-natured. Magnanimity. Okay, so if you're magnanimous, that's good nature. Sahas is sharpness of mind. Okay. What was it? What was that? Determination. Because then if your mind's sharp, then you can be focused. You can do things. Tejas is sharpness of knowledge senses. Seems to be. There must be. There must be. There's some difference in the spelling or the situation. Is influence and sharpness of knowledge senses. So you can't be influential if you don't know where you know those senses don't work. Okay, so this one, what does it have here? What is it up here? Proper execution.
Perfection
in all knowledge. Okay, sharpness indicate knowledge senses. Ojas, because if you're not aware, you can't be in control, right? Ojas is sharpness of action senses. So that's proper execution. Okay, bhaga is being the shelter of enjoyment. Possession of all objects of enjoyment. Because shelter of enjoyment, that means you have to be able to accommodate. So you have to be able to deal. You know,
In other words, interact. Gambhiryam means imperturbable. Stiram is not being fickle. So you're steady. Not that you do this and that. Aishtikam is faith. Kirti is fame. Mana is being worthy of worship. Anahankriti is absence of pride. Other qualities include being true to one's word, respecting Brahmins, and being affectionate to the devotees. These great qualities are eternal, existing over all time in the Lord. The Lord has said, all superior qualities which are eternal, such as equality to all beings and attachment to my devotee, reside in me, who am beyond the material gunas. Not dependent on material qualities, and the friend of my devotees, giving love to them. So it's interesting, he goes, this equality and attachment to his devotees, so two opposing qualities. He's equal to everyone, but he's attached to his devotees. So these are superior qualities. So the superior quality is Krishna. Everything that anyone's looking for in any action, in any situation, any result, is connected with the superior quality. But that, because this always goes back to the original cause, is Krishna. Then there's forms and actions through which one can manifest that quality. But we think that that's what's creating it. And because we're doing it, I'm creating it. Right? But actually, I'm involved in it, but the material nature is doing the transformation based on the principles by the internal potency. And that is all in pursuance of Krishna's quality. That makes sense. So he's the ultimate cause. We're actually not so much the cause. We get to think we're the cause. Yes.
So now, by connecting by Krishna, we develop this quality.
Yes. It means the point is, devotee automatically gets all the qualities. It's just a matter of how much you connect, how much time, it all happens. It all works out.
This quality, there is a need to develop the appropriate consciousness.
Yes, because the consciousness is I want to please Krishna, so therefore I have to follow Krishna's and the Acharya's direction.
Yes.
Right? Because Krishna gives that direction. The Acharyas, out of desire to please Krishna, then expand on that so that we can understand it.
Yes.
Like you can, so here we see Vishwanath expand, so it makes it more practical. We can understand what it means, right? And then if we follow that, then we get very good results. If we don't follow it, then results tend to be less. Like that. Thus, though the Lord is beyond the gunas, he possesses qualities, great qualities, which are spiritual, beyond matter, arising from his swarup. Means it just comes from his, that's his form. He is the form of qualities. Even during universal destruction, these qualities do not disappear. Na vyanti. If they continually reside in Krishna, even during the final destruction, then the qualities just listed must all be eternal. If they are eternal, the objects in which they exist must also be eternal. Thus the pastimes, the participants in the pastimes, the places of the pastimes, and all ingredients are eternal. In his purport to verses 26-30, Srila Prabhupada writes, even if it were possible to count the atoms after smashing the earth into powder, still it would not be possible to estimate the unfathomable transcendental qualities of the Lord. It is said that Lord Anantadev has tried to expound the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord with his numberless tongues, and that for numberless years together, it has been impossible to estimate the qualities of the Lord. The above statement of the qualities of the Lord is just to estimate his qualities as far as a human being is able to see him. And so why these qualities? Because that's what we can see. So we say 64 qualities, those are ones we can appreciate. He has unlimited qualities, but these are we can relate to. But even if it is so, the above qualities can be divided into many subheadings. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the third quality, intolerance of another's unhappiness, can be subdivided into 1. Protection of the surrendered souls, and 2. Well wishes for the devotees. Right? So then Vishwanath has shown that in his purport. Right? Prabhupada's bringing that out. So, in other words, every quality has so many qualities less than it. So, like if you say, Narad Muni gives 30 qualities, that means that already these already include these. There's sometimes even less qualities are there. Lord Chaitanya gives 4 qualities. Those 4 qualities include all the others. So in other words, all these qualities go together. So we can say, how can I deal with all these? You just have to deal with 4. Be humble, be tolerant, respect everyone else. Don't look for respect. Everything else will come within that. Therefore, it actually is, straightforward and easy. The theory is great. Then practical application, that's a...
It's another 50 years.
Yeah. But still, 50 is not bad, hey? Right? Says the demigods are waiting in line to take birth in this society because it's only 50 years. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord states that He wants every soul to surrender unto Him only, and He assures everyone that if he does so, He will give protection from the reactions of all sins. Unsurrendered souls are not devotees of the Lord, and thus there is no particular protection for everyone in general. It's not particular, it's just the generic, whatever is the standard. For the devotees, He has all good wishes, and for those who are actually engaged in loving transcendental service of the Lord, He gives particular attention. He gives direction to such pure devotees to help them discharge their responsibilities on the path back to Godhead. By equality, 10, the Lord is equally kind to everyone, as the sun is equally in distributing its rays over everyone. Yet there are many who are unable to take advantage of the sun's rays. Similarly, the Lord says that surrendering unto Him is the guarantee for all protection from Him. Right, so someone in a cave can't take advantage of the sun's rays. Okay, but unfortunate persons are unable to accept this proposition, and therefore they suffer from all material miseries. So, even though the Lord is equally well-wishing to everyone, the unfortunate living being, due to bad association only, is unable to accept His instructions in toto. So it's just a matter of association. So if you find someone they can't accept, that's because of bad association. Either they've had it in the past and, are running on that, or they have it now. So it comes from bad association. Does that make sense? So that's also one of those scientific elements. You can just see the connection. And for this, the Lord is never to be blamed. That's our... He is called the well-wisher of the devotees only. He appears to be partial to His devotees. But factually, the matter rests on the living being to accept or reject equal treatment by the Lord. In other words, Prabhupada's giving even another interesting element. Because we're talking on the tattva platform. It's that... So that's why the opening, right? There are many... Okay... The Lord is equal to everyone, as the sun is equal in distributing its rays over everyone. Yet there are many who are unable to take advantage. So only the devotees take advantage. Yes. So therefore it appears He's partial. Yes. You understand? Because on the tattva, it's not that He's giving to the devotees and not to the non-devotees. He's giving for everyone, but the non-devotees don't take advantage of it. The sun comes out, they go hide under a rock. What are you supposed to do? Put a mirror or something. Or that's what devotees do. Stick a mirror down there, shine it up, light under the rock. Right? So the point is He is distributing. Just devotees take advantage, and others don't. At the same time, in rasa, then we see because of that, He interacts. So He's distributing His mercy to everyone. Those who respond to it, He interacts with. Those who don't respond, then how are you supposed to do? You send something. If they don't respond, you don't send again. They respond, then you keep the interaction up. Yeah. The 14th quality, knowledge, can be further extended into five subheadings, namely, one. Oh, here it is. I've been looking for this for a long time. You know, because there's these ones, you get them, and then you talk about them, and then someone says, where is it? And then you can't find it. Here it is. The 14th quality, knowledge, can be further extended to five subheadings, namely, intelligence, gratefulness, power of understanding of the circumstantial environments of place, object, and time, perfect knowledge of everything, and five, knowledge of the self. These are all branches of intelligence. But I think in the second canto, he discusses this again. I always remember second canto, but I remember a lot of things in second canto as I'm finding in first canto. So these are both places are... They weren't in second canto, they were in first canto. Like that.
It's better than the second canto.
Yes, just underlying. Yes.
When we spoke about knowledge, it is like realized knowledge, the power of understanding.
That is, you have the power of understanding the circumstantial. It means, of course, there's that practice. It means in other words, If you are able to concentrate here and all that, that's the first stage in intelligence.
Yes.
You're able to contemplate and practice, that's the second. You had realization, that's the third.
Yes.
Like that. So it just naturally progresses.
So knowledge is completely connected with intelligence.
Yes. Now that's the thing. Knowledge is, because how do you apply knowledge except through the intelligence? The mind doesn't deal with knowledge. The mind engages the intelligence to deal with knowledge. Then the mind accepts or rejects. That's why you can come up with very logical. You look at it, I should not do this. You know, it's like there. You know, I should like this, I got this happening, and if I do this, then this will happen, and all this and that, and like that. So yeah, I shouldn't do it. Yeah, that's right, I won't do this. I'm not doing this and all that. And then you pick it up.
Yeah.
Right? Because the mind decides, no, you know, I'm not walking by this thing. You know, it's like this. So. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the difference. Intelligence analyzes. Mind doesn't. Mind just simply accepts and rejects based on your ego. So that's why this whole point is, I'm not going to change my ego. In fact, I'm going to make a society that is based on, I don't have to change my ego.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And therefore everything will be fine. But then the problem is based on that ego, the mind will make its final decision. And that's going to then affect your samskara, right? So that's going to be the opening, what the mind even bothers considering. Like that previous, before we closed, just pointing out is that sometimes leadership doesn't even understand the principle that there is spiritual authority. They just take it, I'm naturally the authority. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's natural. Like Henry G was, you know, he was the leader of, you could say, the whole Anglo-Saxon scene, right? And so, means at that time there was only one Anglo-Saxon scene, right? And so then he's there, and so he is the head of church, he is the head of state and head of church. So that's the way you got to run it. Well, before that, all the other heads of state, it was, they were the heads of state, and the Pope was the head of church, right? So they had to work under his... They couldn't do something that he thought was spiritually not correct. You know, how well he was doing, how well they were doing, that's another thing. You know, we're not getting into that. But the principle means, basically up to Henry, it was just accepted that there was the administrative leader, so there was the spiritual leader. We even see in the Romans that the head priest was always from the nobility. Right? So those who dealt in... did the administration. Let's say if you had two brothers, one went into the administration, so that's taken. He becomes the king or the whatever it is. The other one would go into the church. You know, because it had to be running at that kind of level. Very qualified people. So there's always some variety of this concept. You know? So it's always been there. So the difficulty comes is that you don't want to see it
because your identity is there, you won't have the samskaras that when the opportunity comes, you won't be able to see it because you don't have the samskar. You know, we say he lacks samskar. That means you lack the ability to see an opportunity. And that comes from because your identity is wrong. You change the identity, I'm servant of Krishna. Right? And then based on that, not based on any other external element, then you're able to then improve your quality of samskaras. So in other words, the samskaras that you have, that's what you work with. But it's not that we don't try to improve them. Everyone tries to improve the situation. So if you don't, you say, no, my situation is fine. I'm not going to improve it. That's not natural. Natural is to improve.
We talk about improvement.
Yes.
And it might look like lack of satisfaction.
No, but that's why then all these have to be balanced. That's why then there's austerity, right? Is that you are performing the duties you're supposed to do. And then it had the other quality that you're even looking how you're supposed to perform your duties, how to better perform, what are my duties. In other words, not just, okay, I've heard this and then there, you're actually trying to develop to a better understanding of what your duties are. And then that's based on scripture, it's just on scripture. Right? And then therefore the element of tyag, so you can, what is not yours, you can give away. You know, that's the problem, is I have this, but I'll hold on to this. But no, it's not yours, you give it away. In other words, what's in the realm of your duty, you have that, you keep that. No matter, it means Yudhishthira's keeping a whole kingdom, it's his duty. But as soon as his duty changes, and he's not Grihastha anymore, he's a Vanaprastha, then there's no need of kingdom. Kingdom has already been given to Parikit. It's not that, you know, he gave, Parikit the kingdom, but kept, you know, his favorite palace and his favorite this and his favorite that. And no, it's just the whole kingdom goes because Vana, you just move on.
That's what Dhritarashtra didn't do?
Yes, that's what Dhritarashtra didn't do. Even though technically he was a Vanaprastha, he was still trying to live like a Grihastha. And so he was not acting according to his duty. Right? Like that. So it's like, your Vanaprastha is when you see, you know, the sons of your sons. Right? So Parikit is there. He's the son of the son. Right? And then not only that, Dhritarashtra is not only seeing the son of his sons, he sees the son of his sons and his sons of his sons dead.
Yes.
So that's even more time to take Vanaprastha. You know? So that's is that okay? Okay. As far as the beauty of the Lord is concerned, he has some special features that distinguish him from all other living entities, living beings. And over and above that, he has some special attractive, beautiful features by which he attracts the mind of even Radharani, the supermost beautiful creation of the Lord. Right? She's, in other words, she's the most beautiful of things of creation. But he can even attract her mind. So he still has these special. So he's a very unique entity. Right? You know, like that. So we were discussing, you know, in Lago Bhagavatamrita, his special features. But then above that, he has these special features. So that's what then, when you get into Paravasta, you get what's special about Krishna that makes him distinct from even the other full forms. He is known, therefore, as Madan Mohan, or one who attracts the mind of even Cupid. Srila Jiva Goswami has scrutinizingly analyzed other transcendental qualities of the Lord and affirms that Lord Sri Krishna is the absolute supreme personality of Godhead, Parabrahma. He is omnipotent by his inconceivable energies. And therefore, he is the Yogeshwara, or the supreme master of all mystic powers. Yes.
Why did this here when they discuss the beauty?
The beauty meaning?
They're discussing the quality. You speak about Krishna's beauty, Radharani, and then you put Parabrahma, Yogeshwara.
This is meant he has just analyzed other transcendental qualities. Right? So that ends that. Then this is a further in the thought. More,
it's not connected to the beauty, is it?
No. No, no. Because technically, when you're going in the 64 qualities, beauty is the last one. Right? That's the 64th quality. So he has this beauty that's beyond all others and especially attractive. Like that. So that's his last quality. Okay. He's omnipotent by his inconceivable energies. Right? So that means his energies go everywhere. And therefore he's Yogeshwara, or the supreme master of all mystic powers. Being the Yogeshwara, his eternal form is spiritual, a combination of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. He is the control switch of the material energy. And to control the material energy in the innumerable universes, he is the root cause of innumerable incarnations in all the universes. Like, so he is the one that starts the material energy, the manifestation of material energy. And then to control that, he expands as innumerable incarnations. Right? So he starts the process with his glance, and then he enters into that creation as his various incarnations to control it. He is the root cause of... Okay. There are more than 500,000 incarnations of Manu in only one universe. And that's one of them. Besides other incarnations in different universes. In the spiritual world, however, beyond the Mahat-Tattva, there's no question of incarnations. But there are plenary expansions of the Lord in different Vaikunthas, right? Incarnations, because you see him come, apparently come and go. So in the spiritual world, he doesn't come and go. So there's no incarnation, there's just expansions. Right? So these are all expansions, but they're called incarnations because they appear and disappear. So that will also be the difference we see is that in the Swamsa and the Vibhinamsa. I mean, so Vilas, Swamsa, Vibhinamsa is that these are expansions that are within the, not the Vibhinamsa, that are manifest within the material world. Not that he's not there in the spiritual world. Right, but then that doesn't have that effect. They're just expansions. They're vilas. It's just they're expanded from him, so they're manifesting a certain amount of the power. Right, so the planets in the spiritual sky are at least three times the number of those within the innumerable universes in the Mahatattva. So it says here, yeah, at least three times what's in the innumerable universes, like that. So in other words, there's innumerable universes times three.
Yes.
Unlimited times three. And that's minimum. And all the Narayan forms of the Lord are but expansions of his Vasudev feature. And thus, he is Vasudev, Narayan, and Krishna simultaneously. He is Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murare, He Nata Narayana Vasudeva, all in one. His qualities, therefore, cannot be counted by anyone, however great one may be. Yes? The earth continued. I am thinking about myself and also, O best among the demigods, about you, as well as about all the demigods, sages, denizens of Pitri Loka, devotees of the Lord and all men obedient to the system of Varna and Ashram in human society. 31. Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the importance of Varna Ashram Dharma. To effect the perfection of human life, there is cooperation between men and demigods, sages, denizens of the Pitri Loka, devotees of the Lord and the scientific system of Varna and Ashram orders of life. The distinction between human life and animal life, therefore, begins with the scientific system of Varna and Ashram, guided by the experience of the sages in relation with the demigods, gradually rising to the summit of re-establishing our eternal relationship with the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Right? So here, distinction between human life and animal life, therefore, begins with this. If you're not following it or not attempting to follow it, then we haven't really started human life. Now, of course, the perfection of that being bhakti, if that is there, then one can say from that one has started human life. But on the spiritual platform, but on the cultural platform, not necessarily. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So here it's not a question of varnashram's not valid in this age. As I said before, Manu says these laws apply anytime, any place. So it's always valid because wherever a human can be, they apply. If humans can't live there, okay. So maybe you don't have to follow, you know, varnashram. What is it on the Galapagos, or how do you say those?
Eskimo.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, what is it? Is that how you say them? Galapagos?
Galapagos Islands.
Yeah, Galapagos Islands. So all that's there are turtles. I'm sure they have some very developed system on who's the boss. But, you know, that's all that's there, right? So then you don't have to apply varnashram there. But wherever humans can live, it can apply. Not because it's Kali Yuga, you can't apply it. That has nothing to do with it. Kali Yuga is just that you can get distracted from it. Like that. Okay. When God made Varnashrama Dharma, which is strictly meant for developing animal consciousness into human consciousness and human consciousness into godly consciousness, is broken by advancement of foolishness. So foolishness means advancement of foolishness. You make your foolishness sophisticated, articulate it, write it into, you know, papers like that. The whole system of peaceful and progressive life is at once disturbed. And so when God made Varnashram, so he's not saying it's not India made, right? It means if you look on Varnashram, you look in the tag in the corner, it does not say made in India. You know, like that. Yeah, what's Indians made of? Yeah. Okay. So it's God made, and it's strictly for developing animal consciousness, the human into godly. That's what it's for. It makes those steps. One can say, "Well, I'm going to go from animal to godly." Great if you can do it. But the point is if you're functioning socially and talking about social issues, which those who go against Varnashram do. Then what's the meaning? The point is animal to human, human to godly. So the point is it's a natural step. If you're skipping it itself, going from animal to Paramahamsa, great, we have nothing to say. But if you're going from that to so-called, you know, social, you know, deal with so-called social issues and all that in modern context, then that means you've missed the whole point. So you haven't actually made it to human yet. You know, fortunately, devotional service can be followed by those who are not human. Right? The Kimpurushas make that point in the fifth canto. You know, we're not human, but we still can worship the Lord. He's so kind. Right? You know, if you have a horse head, you're not exactly human. Right? You know, could you imagine that sitting in the lounge? You know, at the dentist, if some guy comes in and sits down, he's got a horse head. You know. Now the question would be, what magazine would he pick up? Yeah. Okay.
Mishungadev magazine.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So that argument of anthropomorphism.
Oh.
Because we think we've got a human form, and then God, so if an animal was there, God would think of him in this form.
Oh, yeah.
Kuzumo.
Zuma. Okay. In the age of Kali, the first attack of the venomous snake strikes against the God-made Varnashram system. And thus a person properly qualified as a Brahmin is called a Shudra. And a Shudra, by qualification, is passing as a Brahmin, all on false birthright claim. Yeah. So that's the thing. So you're qualified. So it's not by birth. It's by how you behave. But the point is he's making here is that there's an attack on the Varnashram system. That's the first thing Kali goes after. Right? Because in the Varnashram system, then you're acting according to Brahminical culture and you're protecting cows. So it's his first act, you know, not act according to Brahminical culture, attack the cows. Okay. I had become the most fortunate planet within the universe due to being decorated by the signs of the flag, thunderbolt, elephant, driving rod, and lotus flower that adorn the lotus feet of the Lord. But just when I was feeling myself to be so fortunate, the Lord suddenly left me. Lord Krishna conquered the gravity of his wives, like Satyabhama, by means of his sweet smiles of love, pleasing glances as hearty appeals. When he traversed my surface, I became immersed in the dust from his lotus feet, and thus my hair stood up with transcendental pleasure. Who could tolerate the pangs of separation from that Supreme Personality of Godhead? Srila Prabhupada explains. There were chances of separation between the Lord and his thousands of queens because of the Lord's being absent from home. But as far as his connection with earth was concerned, the Lord would traverse the earth with his lotus feet, and therefore there was no chance of separation. When the Lord left the surface of the earth to return to his spiritual abode, the earth's feelings of separation were therefore more acute. Right? So the one who's always with will feel the separation greater than the ones who occasionally have and lose it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, because otherwise there's always the argument. No, but the person's always there, so you know we should get the opportunity. You know, because we're feeling separation, but then the ones... That's why Kunti... You know, that was her thing about Krishna going back to Dwarka. Because she only occasionally comes there, so she's feeling acute separation, so she's thinking the resident of Dwarka will feel more, because that's where he lives. While Prithivi, the earth, and Dharma, the personification of religion, were thus conversing, Maharaj Parikit arrived at the banks of the river Saraswati. That ends that chapter. Yeah, all your questions... Essay question. Ooh, I like this essay.
More.
It takes two pages to explain it.
Seth, be economical with words when you answer.
Yes. But you know, this. But the more he says, the more you know exactly what to do, so you get more economical. No, so then you just write, ok. then... Even Patanjali will be impressed.
Yeah. We can also write Om means in Greek.
Yeah. Om, yes. Om Tat Sat. That's everything. Hey, I answered the question. What are you talking about? I don't know if it'll work, but you can try.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur.